Brilliance Audio.
The Light on Farallon Island by Jen Wheeler. Performed by Sarah Zimmerman. Heaven have mercy on us all, Presbyterians and pagans alike, for we are all somehow dreadfully cracked about the head and sadly need mending. Moby Dick, Herman Melville. Prologue. Fata Morgana. When she was little, Amelia Osborne saw a ship floating above the horizon. It sailed not high among the clouds, but several feet clear of the deep blue ocean that should have bound it. She struck out as if summoned, at once up to her ankles in surf, soon swamped to the knees, skirts and petticoats heavy with the sea. How far out would she have to wade before she too could rise above the swells? She struggled on up to her waist, to her ribs, eyes fixed on that magic vessel, so she didn't even see the wave that slapped her face as if for impudence. Amelia's feet were tugged out from under her, body yanked about, nose seared by salt water as she was sucked headfirst toward the ship. She fought against the current, but sensed that it was useless. When she opened her mouth to scream, the ocean rushed in. Her mind went muscle black, blue and silver at the edges, before they clamped shut on consciousness. And then her eyes shattered with sunlight, her lungs with violent coughing. A foamy bilge pumped from her chest, gushed from her mouth. She was a palsied octopus upon the sand, sodden clothes pinning her down, long hair tangled like seaweed about her face. "There she is," Mr. Henry cried. "Breathe now." Amelia pressed one cheek against the cold beach and expelled the last of the sea she'd swallowed. As she gasped and sputtered, Mr. Henry plucked wet strands from her face. His own coarse hair dripped down his jaw. "Shh, now. You're all right. Calm yourself." She tried. She rolled her stinging eyes to the side, where her older brother knelt in tears. Past his shoulder, their mother stood with a faint smile on her lips, arms folded at her waist, eyes untroubled as two deep wells. Her countenance anchored Amelia and alarmed her most of all. She buried her head in Mr. Henry's soaked shoulder and tried to sob away the image of that placid face. Some years later, Amelia asked if her mother recalled that day, how she'd gazed so calmly at her half-drowned daughter. "Did you not care if I died? Did you want me to?" "Do not be ridiculous, child. I knew thou would come to no harm." "How could you? If Mr. Henry hadn't swum out to save me, thou would have washed back to shore, for it won't ever be the water kills thee. It will be the fire. I have seen." 1. The Devil's Teeth. April 10th, 1859. I sail for the Farallons this morning. San Francisco will be behind me before sunrise. It seems fitting to leave these rooms in darkness. They still smell like smoke. Amelia stopped short, scratched out the last sentence until it was a black pall upon the page. Before the ink was dry, she closed the diary and tucked it away in her carpet bag. She finished dressing, slipped from the boarding house unseen, and ascended the steep front steps to meet the hackney carriage that would take her to the wharf. Her trunk had gone ahead of her the previous afternoon and should be safely stowed if it hadn't been stolen in the interim. She tried not to fret over it, clamped her bag against her waist to keep from bending to touch her petticoat hem. But when she shifted, she could feel the weight of the hidden necklace brush her ankle. No one would get that, at least, or what she carried in her hands. San Francisco was a far less lawless place than in the early gold rush days of a decade before, but even as an established city with a cosmopolitan veneer, it was full of people eager to take advantage. Amelia couldn't help but sense threats prowling the darker corners.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?